Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's Monday, the 7th of March, 2016. It's 7:30 a.m., and we are broadcasting to you from North Central West Virginia. John 14 is where we want to go today. John 14. The scripture says, before we go to John, we'll go to Luke. Luke 21:25-26. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waters roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Here we see the picture of mankind without foundation, without that rock in their lives to sustain them and keep them, that which goes beyond our intellect, our powers, our own strength. And of course, that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 14, and he comforts them. How many know that the Holy Spirit was sent to comfort us? And how many know that the Word of God was penned by the Holy Spirit, men inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write the infallible Word of God? So Jesus is speaking here in verse 1 of John chapter 14, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. What did we just say was going to happen in these days in which we are living, that men's hearts would fail them? Now, of course, the heart is that physical muscle that dwells on the left side of our bodies. But your heart also is your where you live spiritually. It's your emotions, that which guide you and lead you and prod you sometimes to do the things that we do within our lives, where our trust is, where our hope is. The Bible says that hope is an anchor for the soul. And of course, we know that anchor is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, I have a way to keep you in the days when the heavens will be shaken. We're there. When insecurity is all around us, where we hear wars and rumors of wars, we hear threatenings every day coming out of world leaders with their finger on the button, so to speak, poised to annihilate the world, to push the world into total chaos. We're already in chaos, maybe not quite total yet. But where do we go to find comfort, to find peace, to find hope, to find stability that'll keep our minds, that'll keep our spirits, that'll keep us stable, that'll keep us composed, with spiritual composure in these last days, that that we rely on someone greater than we are to keep our hearts and our minds and our spirits. See, we live in a world, and nothing wrong with medicine, but the Bible talks about medicine, the Greek word pharmakeia, which is a form of, to put it bluntly, witchcraft, so to speak. I don't think it's mind-altering, but it's not that it's wrong to take medicine, because there are medicines that help us, and of course, unless there's an abuse factor. But you know, we live in a world where we take a pill almost for everything. If we've got high cholesterol, we take a pill. If we've got low blood, we take a pill. If we have headaches, we take a pill. If we've got back aches, whatever it might be, it seems like there's a pill for everything. But you'll note, you know, by simply watching the commercials on television, that for every pill that we take, that the side effects are sometimes horrible, and they outweigh the beneficial properties of that pill. What do we take for a troubled heart? What do we do about a troubled heart? See, we fight things on different planes. We as individuals, first we fight our personal battle, our personal spiritual battle. And if you're not in a warfare, you're not alive. Because we are in a day of where some theologians put the term cosmic warfare, that we are a pawn, or we are a prize. See, there's we live in a universe where there's one greater, and of course that one greater is not a negative thing, but is a positive thing, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God and believe also in me. Believe in me that the one that's standing before you right now, who come to represent God Almighty, Jehovah. I have been sent from God to pull mankind out of their drudgeries, to save mankind from their sins, from their heartaches, from their failures, from their frailties. Man was never meant to exist on their own apart from their Creator. See, there's needs we have in our lives, emotions. You know, we try to deny them, we try to suppress them, but they are there every day, and we have to deal with them. And the helper of our soul is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who was sent to be the antidote for our troubled heart. The Bible says that man's days are short and full of trouble. John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear, one of the greatest enemies of mankind today is fear. But he gives us not the spirit of fear or a troubled heart, but he gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But see, there's something we have to do, and that's become totally dependent on him. See, we have too many auxiliaries in our life. And there are good auxiliaries or helpers, but of course, our helper, our main auxiliary is, and he's under the realm of being called deity, because he is deity. The Holy Spirit is deity, but he is our helper. He's the one who helps us and guides us and leads us into all truth and all righteousness. He comforts us in our time of need. But there again, there's that perfect submission that we lacked in our lives. For some reason, mankind has this uncanny ability to try to depend upon himself, to try to work things out before he gets help, because we are prideful. And pride comes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. So he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, this is a statement, but it's also a promise. The Bible says in John 13:33, little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, he's saying, you can come because I've made the way. See, this is all made possible by the sacrifice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. Nothing we did. See, we are saved by grace. We are products of mercy. He doesn't look at our intellect. He doesn't look at our works, so to speak. Although faith will produce work, but we're not saved by those works. James laid this out. Read the book of James. It's true. He says, and if I go to prepare your place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible says that the Lord loves those that love his appearing, that are looking for him. I'm not talking about a head to clouds all day running around, being all spiritual. But we are looking for him. He promised he was going to come back. The angel of the Lord stood beside the disciples and said, why do you men stand gazing? Because for this same Jesus that you see ascending today will someday in like manner descend. But this time with power, with glory. Not to be spat upon and hung on an old rugged cross, but to be the next president of the world, the final one. Thank God. Thank God. He says, let's read Mark 8:30. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. This is what we're in the middle of. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is talking about the afterlife. After this life. It's pointing that a man wants to die and then the judgment. The Word of God compares us to a blade of grass, to a grain of sand, to dust that comes, and dust we are and dust we shall return. And he says in verse 4, he says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. He doesn't leave us without a spiritual, in modern jargon, GPS. Then Thomas said unto him, we know, you know, Thomas was a thinker. You know, Thomas was hands-on. Thomas, you know, we know what he said. He said, unless I see, unless I touch, I won't believe. And he did see and he did touch. And Jesus said, he said, you see and you touch and you believe. How much harder is it for those who believe that haven't seen and haven't touched me? See, that's why the just must walk by faith. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am. It's the Greek ego. In other words, he's above all. Have you heard people say, well, their ego's too big for them? You know, they're egotistical. You know, they think themselves to be something. Well, he don't think himself. He is something. He is the I am. The Bible says he was there when the world was created. He thought it not robbery to put himself on the same level as God the Father, because he was God incarnate. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now listen, those three things right there, he says, I am the way. He means I am the only way. I am the only way. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Psalmist David said, he said, as a deer pants after the water, so does my soul pant after you. You know, we have to want him. We have to seek him. Paul made reference to pressing toward the high mark of the high calling. Now, make no mistake about it, he found us. We didn't find him. He found us. But there needs to be a desire. I think so what's happened in the church world today is people are losing their desire. We have fell back way too much into a form and a fashion that denies the power thereof. We have allowed the enemy to sit on our church services and not let the full power of God move in our midst and let him have full reign and full authority in our churches. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that purchased the church with his own blood. And he certainly has authority in his own house. It's not a man's house. It's God's house. It's Jesus said that I am the way. It's my house. He said, my house should be called the house of prayer. He threw them out, called them dens of thieves, because there was much usury going on in the house of God. Okay. He said, I am the way. I am the way. Do we need a way? Yes, we need a way. Do we need guidance? Yes, the Bible says that the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now, who is a righteous man? Him who believes on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No goodness in us, by no means. So he says, I am the way, I am the truth. What does the Bible say about truth? The Bible says, to know the truth, it shall set us free. Pilate said, what is truth? And little did he know, he was looking at truth eye to eye. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. Now, you know, not one of many truths, but the truth. From him, all things flow. The Bible says, all good things come from the Father of light. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He sent the truth to earth to witness of the Father. He sent the truth. So here Jesus said, I am the way. So if you're looking for a way today, it's in Jesus. If you're looking for truth today, it's in Jesus. And the truth will set me and you free. But you know what? The hardest truth is the truth about ourselves. See, when the Holy Ghost begins to amplify our lies before us, when he begins to point out under the spirit of conviction, never condemnation, but always conviction, under the spirit of conviction, and show us the things in our lives that need to go, that the little foxes that destroy the vines in our lives, how he's fine-tuning us. And this is a process. And it is a daily process. Paul said, I die daily. So Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. There's three very important factors. We don't want to be groping around the dark. We want to have direction. We want to have a destination, or somebody use the term, we want to have a destiny. We want to know where we're going. We want to have a purpose. Jesus said, I am that way. I am that purpose. It's all wrapped up in me. See? The church has become a polytheistic. You know, I mean, we're trusting everything and everybody and throwing Jesus in once in a while when it's convenient. But see, it must be narrowed down. We are monotheistic. One God. One source, one Lord of all, one baptism, one Spirit. I am the way, he said. And in a world where we are surrounded by lies, why are we surrounded by lies? Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world, and from the beginning he is a liar. And all men are not our brothers. Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." So, unless two agree, how can they walk in continuity? Not going to happen. We just can't fall into everything and believe everything and say, well, you know, whatever works for you, you know, put everything in categories. But see, the bottom line, Jesus said that I am, and I'm going to, you know, amplify that, I am the only way. Only way. I am the only truth, he says. God told Moses at the burning bush, he said, you tell Pharaoh, I am, has sent you. The Creator. In the beginning, God. The source of all things. The end of all things, which he knows the beginning from the ending. And he says, I am the life. For the thief comes but to kill and destroy. But I come that you might have life, and you might have more abundant life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. One mediator between God and man. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. For this reason did he come, to destroy the works of the devil, to reconcile man back to... Listen, God, in my opinion, in my finite mind, in my pea brain, so to speak, God had every right to discard us because of failure, because of the fall. I mean, he says, I repent, I made man. But to see, there's something about us that God loves. My. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, I would that none would perish. Jesus said, He said, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers his chicks, but now you've missed your time of visitation. Now's the time of visitation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get acquainted to the only source, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that is none other than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all. Not one of many. You can't mix him with everything else. It's not going to work. What happens, oil and water? What happens, oil comes to the top? You can't. It doesn't go together well. And we see Daniel's interpretation of the great statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw. We saw the 10 toes being mixed with iron and clay and mire, and that's the mixing and the hodgepodge of the world today. The many isms and schisms that come out of this world. See, there's only one truth. And that angers a lot of people. That angers them when you say there's only one way. It just because, see, that takes away all their ways. That takes away all their attempts to go about to establish their own righteousness. One way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. I'm that way. He said, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. When you look at me, he says, you look at the Father. Well, this angered the Pharisees when he said, he made the statement that they said, before Abraham was, I am. He's the way. Well, that's being very narrow-minded, no? That's just truth. And this truth will set us free today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto God the Father except it be through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Call on him today and he'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll change your life. The greater that we yield unto him, the greater he's going to move within our lives. The more we become submissive and allow him to form us and fashion us, then the more his spirit will be revealed within our lives. And he'll lift us up above all the shadows. Chastised for our peace of mind, took stripes on his back that we might be healed. Receive him today in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you today for your son that you sent, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. And there's none other above him, neither will there ever will be, Lord. Because we trust completely in you today. Give us strength today, Lord. Guide our footsteps today, which you said you would do. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Call on him today. Receive him today. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. May God bless you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
And the meek shall inherit the earth.